Voice of the K.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Good morning to listeners tuned to 91.3 FM audio streaming at www.vocfm.co.za, 95 FM in the Poland, and 90.7, 90.9 ocean to ocean. In the segment, we focus on the organization Beautiful Life Community, and we have the founder, member, and director of the organization, Wendy Levita, online with us. Wendy, good morning to you and a warm welcome.
Aisha, how are you today?
Fine, thanks. And yourself?
Good, thanks.
Wendy, when we speak about Beautiful Life Community, tell us more about the organization itself, when it was established, and, you know, the goal behind it, why it was established. What was the inspiration?
Beautiful Life Training and Community Development is as a result of all the unemployment and poverty and the stress families and the kids are experiencing. And from my personal experience as a child, a Texas child, I understand that. And I come from a dysfunctional family. We've also been through a lot of crises and having, you know, to fend for ourselves and struggle to survive. And so I understand what families go through. And coming with my background of community development, I've just, you know, looked at why is it that families are in this place? How can we actually partner? How can we get businesses? So our goal is actually to offer an intervention for families in crisis as a support network where we come alongside business, schools, community, and children in crisis to partner with families.
When we speak about families in crisis, and you've mentioned coming, you know, people speak about dysfunctional families and all of those. So does it mean support group, giving that social support to people? And sometimes it's not just the social support that they need, but also the financial support. So does that mean, you know, providing training, skills development, making people self-sustainable?
That's correct. So what we do is we connect with schools and community organizations. For instance, we are connected with the Bridgetown Library, the Southfield Library, that's where we engage and use that as contact centers. So community comes via a school, like Book Mercury Primary, for instance, where we were involved recently, where we helped with school uniforms and shoes. Or they'll come alongside by another NGO where they refer to the program. We partner with the family. So if you take up the situation where you might have lost your job in a crisis, you need support, you don't have funds for school fees, or you don't have a uniform, the child or the family comes into the program where they assist, and then you look at the need, and then we refer them for counseling if they need counseling, for money management if they need money management. If they need school shoes or uniforms, we will partner with them in that way. If they need a bursary or a scholarship, we will find one for them. If mom is unemployed, we will help to find employment, place them in a training program. The areas that we look at is telesales, marketing, business, small business development. So skills development in those areas, starting your own little business from home, your gardening, or, you know, where you can start to plant your own fruit and veggies. But it's all in partnership with other existing NGOs. So we're not going to be planting gardens for the family, but we are going to refer you to an existing organization. We're not specifically going to train you in a skill, but we are going to send you for one to train into one of our partners. You can get training. We can place you with an organization that does small business development, where you can learn to run your own little business from home. So basically connecting and forming collaborations with other organizations to support families in distress.
When this inception, or, you know, of the organization, do you find that initially when you started out, there were less people, but more and more people, you know, would come to the center to inquire about what it is that you are doing, and that the need is just becoming greater within community with regards to dysfunctional families? We're looking at the social responsibility. Are the churches and the mosques involved in this? Like you've mentioned, you know, you don't reinvent the wheel. It's already there, so you're just networking with those organizations, and so you're rerouting, you do the initial consultation and then do referrals.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, so yes, there's a bigger demand, and you know, the demand is constantly growing because the unemployment rate in the Western Cape especially is much, you know, growing overnight. In 2018, it was about 48,000 people. I'm sure that the gas changed now because I haven't looked at the stats recently, but the demand is definitely the need to see. You can see that for yourself. There's more people who are unemployed. 1 in 6 children on the Cape Flats come from single parent families, so there's a big need for support for families and for single parents and for little ones who often come from those families who do not have the basic things of meals or shoes or not going to school because they don't have a uniform, or mom is unaware of the fact that she has access to preschooling or other options. So yes, the need is much greater now than it was when we started in 2010.
Wendy, is the organization a registered NPO, and do you you know, get government funding, or how does it look? How do you sustain all these programs that you're currently busy with?
Okay, Futures Alive is a Section 21 company. We depend on donors, individuals and corporates and private donors to fund the organization at this time. We are not an NPO. The difference between the two is an NPO is a non-profit organization which can apply for funding to social services. The strategy and the administration around that differs at this point, and that is just a point, you know, we have at the time where we started the organization, registered as a Section 21 company, we are in the process of applying for NPO status so that social services can, you know, also then we can apply to them for funding.
Okay. We're looking at the services you render within community. Are those all volunteers on board, and are you looking for more volunteers? So tell us more about the staff and what they do, you know.
Okay. So none of us are employees. We are all volunteers. So we need more volunteers, we need funding, we need companies to come on as partners. We depend 100% on funding from individuals, as I said, and volunteers. If you want to volunteer in the area of fundraising, marketing, or you have a business, you want to partner, you want to take on a project, you want to decide, you know, you want to decide you're going to adopt a program, whether it's going to be a single parent program, or you want to help with training, you want to come on as a business partner, when you're going to maybe you know, now is the time at the end of the financial year where you can maybe make a donation to the organization. It's all voluntary work.
When did we speak? You spoke earlier about the Cape Flats poverty and unemployment on the Cape Flats. Does that mean that you're situated in the Cape Flats amongst the people, in, you know, seeing what is happening on a daily basis?
That's right. So, you know, our contact centers, as I mentioned, and there is Bridgetown Library and Southfield Library. That's our, and we treat us to the Southfield area. So we're looking at people in Bridgetown, Bundeville, Haydenfield, Manambas, Southfield area, and also Southfield District there, which is all in the, you know, the Cape Flats community, where families are really in a lower state. And often people are looking at the effects of poverty, but they don't look at what is, you know they see, okay, this crime, this violence, this drug abuse, all of those issues, but they're not looking at the root cause. And from what we and my research study, which I've done, the perspective which I see is it's a breakdown in the family and parenting skills that is required. And so that's the area that we work on, to build up the parenting and profile, to see that parents are supported, where they can come for training, they can come for support, so they're not ending up in a situation where they're alone.
I love the fact that you mentioned parent, which means either dad or mom can attend, or they can both attend. But also, when we're looking at the organization, is it looking at empowering both males and females equally?
Definitely. Our fathers play a big role in developing a child, and the families, actually, you know, from, you know, what I've learned in the past, it might not be everybody's opinion, but it's mine, that the father has a very big role to play. He's actually, you know, sometimes, you know, left out of the equation, and often mom is making all the decisions, and it should be an egalitarian relationship because it's a family. We both have equal, you know, input into the family, and with the family develop as a whole, with children and family and mom and dad together work as a family, as a unit, to build the family, and together, because of that relationship with the family, the society is affected, and that's when you're building a better society.
Wendy, when you mentioned about, you know, children being placed at preschools within the community where parents are, or the homes are a bit dysfunctional, just with regards to that, what if the parents cannot afford the fees at the schools? Are those, you know, do you provide what sponsorship for that child?
Okay, so this is the idea, is that this creche on the corner adopts this little baby, like, as in a birthday, where the members of the creche say, yes, you know, Gigi needs to go to creche, Wendy's unemployed, she's then going to the training program, while she's in the training program, Gigi's going to be at creche, and the creche on the corner, which is in our own community, so we're not saying, okay, one of the creches in Cape Town must now take Gigi while Wendy's getting onto a training program. We're saying that's where we're parting in the community, where the same area that that family is coming from, if it's in Bridgetown or Hagerstown, that we're going to find a creche that's going to sponsor that little baby while mommy's in that training program. The school's going to take the child, and the people that we're going to work with, the donors and the funders, are going to provide the uniform. But we're going to ensure that the child is never left alone at home while mom is going to look for a job, or that babies are going with her hunting for work, or, you know, on the street corner.
Wendy, when we look at the, you know, I'm just looking to find whether you would want to share one of your success stories with us, because many a times we find, you know, people being in a dysfunctional family, and they're on the verge of either getting divorced or parting ways, and the children don't know whether they, Arthur or Martha, should we go with mom or should we go with dad? What in the case, you know, is it more important for you to get counseling for both, you know, the parties, as well as for the entire family, to keep them together instead?
Yes, we do family counseling, and which ideal, in the ideal world, we would like mom and dad both to come for counseling and for the family to stay together. But, you know, when it comes to the counseling area, I cannot actually give you examples of families, because that is, again, in the confidentiality zone, where we can't go out and tell you about that. But I can tell you that if I'm going to take it into the area where we've just come from, the school, where we've worked with kiddies and with at the primary school that we've been at. We went there last month in line with Human Rights Day and children to wash their feet and to make sure that they got shoes and socks. Was one of the things that we didn't think about. And that family was so bad because it was even just one child who didn't have socks, who didn't have shoes. His pants was broken. And it's so sad to see the child. But, you know, at the end of this, you know, we gave them to come and to just tell you how they feel. And on another occasion where we've had, we've actually gone and we got them to write letters where they've written to the donor where they've said, outrightly, we love you. We have nobody in our lives like this. You're amazing. We can't imagine, you know, anyone like that in our community that's going to do stuff like this for us.
That's absolutely amazing. Heart. So, you know, those are the letters you receive, and I'm sure it must tell you, give you that sense of, you know, we are doing the right thing within our community.
Yeah.
We are providing an aid that is so much needed as well. That is just one school that you've touched, and I'm sure there are many others that you want to touch as well. You've mentioned earlier on, you cannot do this without your sponsors and your donors, you know, to assist as well. Do you have professional counselors on board as well? And are there counselor training for those volunteers who wish to come on board?
Okay. I am the counselor. I'm psychologist Wendy Lavita. So I am the counselor in the organization. If I need to refer people, then yes, I would refer them to one of our partners who are all training, you know, they are trained in counseling, and so nobody is going to be sent as a referral to, you know, someone who's unskilled in the area of counseling. Everybody that we refer to are recognized trainers, or they recognize counselors. It's all professionally trained individuals who partner with Theatre for Life.
Now, I think very often, and in the past, people thought that libraries were just, you know, where books are kept. And I see that libraries are playing a major role with regards to cementing community life nowadays as well. And the libraries that you're quite involved with, would you love other libraries to also come on board and share their spaces and open it up, you know, to the upliftment of community in different ways as well, and not just literacy?
We're using the libraries as contact centers in Bridgetown and Southfield, because they're on, you know, they're in the Athlone district and they're in Bridgetown district. definitely other libraries are most welcome to, you know, come and talk to us and be a part of what we're doing and involved. But, you know, like I mentioned, those are the areas where we could connect with people on a central basis.
The volunteers, are they both males and females, and are you looking for more male volunteers to come on board?
We need males and females in like the areas of fundraising, marketing, also looking at administration, looking at if you maybe want to get involved, you know, in this community development aspect, you want to build partnerships with other organizations. So there's a broad sphere. It depends on your skills and our needs, which we will match. The volunteers will receive application forms. They can go to our website and they can contact me on the website. It is www.beautifullifecommunity.co.za.
Just with regards to speaking about marketing and fundraising and admin, we find that, you know, when students are at CPUT, there's always the fourth year, the final year, or the when they need to take on a project within community. So I'm not sure if you may be linked or connected, if you know about it. You know, so many students perhaps looking for organizations to do something for them. So maybe you should approach CPUT as well and find out, you know, whether these students can come on board and assist.
Yes, thank you, Aisha. We have spoken to a number of training institutions, CPUT, UWC, UCT, and Stellenbosch University. I've been on the radio on those stations as well, and they've been invited. So, yes, we are definitely talking to everybody.
There we go. So it's getting the youth also involved in community matters, isn't it?
That's correct.
So to become a volunteer, is there a specific age group that you're looking at?
Well, we're looking at people from the age of 18 to 35. There are people who are older, being senior citizens, who can obviously, if they want to get involved, come on a, you know, casual basis, so they can come in and help maybe with little things that they want to do. It's not age restricted. It just depends on our need and your ability.
Indeed, because
and willingness to do something to uplift community and make a difference in people's lives.
So people can check the website and they'll find all information there to become a volunteer, as well as providing, if you want to provide a service or contribute, banking details. Will that be on the website as well?
Yes, I'm going to repeat it. It's www.beautifullifecommunity.co.za.
We want to say thank you so much, Wendy Levita, for chatting to us this morning. All the success, and you know, we build that brick wall one brick at a time, and we want to cement it properly. So all the success to you and everyone volunteering their services to build a better community.
Thanks, Aisha. Just one request before you go.
No problem.
Okay, we desperately, last time when I was on my way to you for the interview.
Yes.
Our vehicle, which we use for fundraising and community development, broke down. So if there's a company who wants to donate a vehicle, partner with Beautiful Life, we definitely would appreciate them to look at how they can maybe market their brand, put their name on a car, and donate it to Beautiful Life.
I think that would be awesome. Thank you so much and all the success. Hopefully you'll be contacted, Wendy. All the best.
Thank you so much for the interview.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.